Praise the Lord. Well, if y'all thought this was going to get you out of listening to me preach, you got another thing coming. Y'all sit down. Because I promise you this Episcopal could preach after this. But I promise you I will not take up much of your time. I'll preach as fast as I can. And I'll say this, if you're one of those people who are still sitting here and you're like Caleb, said, I just couldn't play the game anymore and wear two faces. I had to surrender to Jesus today. Let me tell you, God reveals that to you. Man doesn't. You don't have to wait till I'm done. I promise. You just get out of your seat and you walk up here and we'll stop what we're doing for a minute. I love being on God's time and God's schedule, don't you? Y'all know that? God moved and we didn't have this schedule laid out. We said this morning, we're going to do an extra song. And, you know, it's not a long song. We'll do an extra song. And we'll be done in plenty of time. Little did we know that God's going to say, we're done when I say you're done. I've got things to do this morning. I love that we have a church who is about the master's business. He says, we're here today so that God can move. Let me tell you this. If you're a visitor here right now, I'll just be straightforward with you. You're standing longer than you normally stand in church, just go ahead and sit down if it's bothering you. You say, well, it hurts my back. Well, sit down. God can work through you standing up, sitting down. It really doesn't matter. But I promise you this, if you're concerned about you when God's moving and changing lives, you got a problem. You got an issue. You need to work that issue out on your face right here at some point in time today. I don't say that to offend the visitors who might be visiting with us. I say that because that's the truth, and unfortunately, nobody's telling the truth in our society anymore. We came here today to hear about the truth. America, it's time. We've talked about some things. Anybody remember thus far? America, it's time to wake up. Last week, we talked about confessing our sin as the American church. America, it's time that we fess up. We fess up to the fact that we have fallen into the trap of being lazy and apathetic and complacent. We've fallen into that trap, and we no longer want to be in that trap. Amen? Today we're going to talk about America, it's time to stand up. America, it's time to stand up. I know what a lot of you think, well, maybe it's too late. And if we all have that attitude, let me tell you this, it's too late. But I want to show you today that the Apostle Paul is speaking in terms of war. He's speaking of the fact that we are in a fight. And I'm not going to break all this down. I'm not going to give you an exhaustive lesson on the armor of God because we don't have time. What I want you to do is I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, a passage that a lot of you know, a lot of you are familiar with, but we're going to turn there, and what I want you to see more than anything is this. We are, whether we realize it or not, we are in a battle. We are in a war. We are in a fight. We're in a fight against the evils of this world. It doesn't matter what political disguises they put on their face. It doesn't matter if it's your evil, immoral boss at work. It doesn't matter if it's the corrupt system of the world that we all deal with every day. There is a real battle and there is a real enemy. So as we look at this, I want you to be aware of that. If nothing else today, to be aware of the fact that we have been called to this battle. You know what my prayer is? This will get you on some kind of hit list, I'm sure. ISIS is going to put me on the list. I've been trying. Okay, it came out this week that there were 24 churches in Texas that were on ISIS list, and I wasn't on it, and I was kind of upset about it. I didn't even make 25 or 26. Those of you who know me, I want to be number one, right? I wasn't even on the list. No, I say all that in a kind of jokingly manner, but it's not a joke, is it? We're at war. We've been at war. In fact, we've been at war since Paul wrote to Ephesus, chapter 6, and he tells them this. Verse 10, chapter 6, finally, be strong in the Lord. Put on His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. This doesn't sound like a pacifist here, does it? This doesn't sound like a liberal who says that there's no such thing as good violence. It sounds right here that immediately he's telling us we're going to have to be strong. He says to put on some strength from the Lord and His mighty power and put on the full armor of God. Now, if you need armor, that means you're in a battle, wouldn't you all agree? NFL's about to kick off. We're not going to see a linebacker go out there without his pads. He'd be a fool, because I don't care how good he is, he's got to wear that armor. He said, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, not if, when, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Watch this. I love this. And after you've done all you can do to stand, we always stop there and go, great. Now look at verse 14. Verse 14, there's no verse in the original manuscript. He says, after you've done all you can do to stand, stand. After you've done all you can do to stand, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And he goes on and he breaks the rest of it down. But what I want to talk to you about today is not the exhaustive explanation of what all these pieces of armor may be, but the fact that we are in a battle, the fact that we are in a constant war against a real and an aggressive enemy who is roaming this earth seeking whom he may devour. That may be to devour your marriage, that may be to devour your home, that may be to devour everything in your life that brings God glory, because that is his desire. So pay attention. Because what has happened, as we've already talked, the American church has gone to sleep. The American church has grabbed a hold of apathy and complacency. And the American church has got to get back to a point where they stand up. We're quick to gripe. Have you noticed that? We as the American Christians, we're quick to look around and identify the problems. Here's what I say to you. If you're willing to identify a problem and you're not willing to do something about it, you are the problem. It's quiet sometimes in church, doesn't it? You say, well, Pastor, you sound like you're calling all these warriors to battle. I am. God is. And I want you to understand it's time that we stand up. It's time that we stand up and we realize this. When we stand in God's power, it's going to offend the compromiser. It's going to threaten the weak brother and sister. They're going to look at you and they're going to think you've lost your mind. It's going to repulse and just really disgust the religious people. Oh, the religious people would be disgusted today. Can you believe it? These people just came up, nobody invited them to, and got on their face before God and got right with Him. And then some old codger got up here and preached a little bit. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the church. I'm just glad for a while all I've heard about is these swings. He knows I'm only playing with him. Listen, I love to see somebody who's got a dream, but he keeps asking me, I don't know anything about the grounds or the yard or the digging holes for a swing. So, Glenn, get with Gene. Josh, get with Gene. Y'all put those swings up. Put one in my office. I don't care. But when we make a stand, it's going to cause some people to get upset. You know, ungodly get upset when we make a stand. I think about some of you who, you may work in the public school system. You see all the junk that's indoctrinated into the lives of our children now. I would challenge a teacher. Skip that chapter. You say it again so you didn't misunderstand me. I would challenge a teacher. Skip that chapter. But they have to know it. They already know it. It's the doctrine of this world. They know it. What we got to do is we can't stand and act like we back it up. When we as Christians begin to embrace lifestyles that are contrary to the Word of God, we're not making a stand. It's a shame to me. I'll say this from the pulpit. Y'all get ready. It's a shame to me that in my son's high school, a little boy can dress up like a little girl and wear high-heel shoes and a dress, and everybody says it's okay. Because the Word of God says it's not okay. I wish a teacher would tell that kid, hey, kid, go home and put you some Levi's or some Wranglers and some cowboy boots on and come back and I will teach you how to be a man, because obviously nobody's done it in your life.
Well, brother, I just can't believe you'd even use that platform to get on that agenda. That's not
an agenda to counteract the world. That's the truth from the Word of God. He said that men are supposed to dress like men and women are supposed to dress like women. How more clear can you be about that? And I would challenge you. I ain't sharing a bathroom with one of them. And I'll also tell you this, it's going to be a sad day for that joker when he goes in my daughter's bullet stall. Oh, we don't want to talk about this stuff at church. We want to feel good about everything and everybody. No, we want to talk about the truth. It's time we make a stand. And it's time we make a stand according to what Paul said against the enemy. You got to realize this today. Point number one, there is a real enemy. Do not forget that. And every day he is seeking to devour one of you and Christians all around this world with his schemes according to what we just read. So understand, not only do we have an enemy, we have a 4,000-year-old combat veteran who's coming after you every single day, and you pretend like you're not even in a war. You know the quickest way to die in battle? Forget you're in one. And we as the American church, we've forgotten that. We've forgotten that. We do what the rest of the world does. We take our warriors and we make them into little sissy girls. Y'all going to hear me harp on it again. You see two boys out here in the yard fighting with sticks and they've made them into swords and they're whacking each other in the top of the head with them? Praise God for that. Praise God, because I promise if they are whooping each other out in the church yard, they're not trying to kiss each other in the bathroom. You laugh. You think our God's not a warrior? You think he didn't create us in his image? No, what society has done, and even in the church, they're talking you out of allowing your men to become the warriors that God desires them to be. I promise, there's a little warrior in every man who's born into this world as a little boy. Daddies, it's your job to refine that. It's your job to teach your son, you're not to be a bully. But it's okay. Watch this. I'm going to say it from the pulpit. It's okay if you defend that crippled kid that you go to school with, or you defend that kid who's maybe not as smart as the other kids that they pick on. It's okay. When Jesus was talking about turning the other cheek, he was not talking about those things. He was talking about persecution, and you need to understand the difference. We're not talking about persecution. We're talking about injustice. Talking about making a stand where we need to make a stand. Sometimes that means we got to fight for what we believe in. I said, sometimes that means we have to fight for what we believe in. How many believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Hey, watch this. Newsflash. If you don't make a stand, we are probably less than a decade from being illegal and saying that we love Jesus Christ. Oh, you laugh. Do you know we are a follower of a man who is all about love? But in his love, he didn't compromise truth. And we're being called the haters because we follow the greatest example of love, that while we were in our sin, God sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross for us as a gift to us and a picture to us of His great love. And because we follow the greatest lover of man, it's been turned on us that we're haters because we teach the truth. I'll tell you like this. The truth is we're all destined for hell apart from Jesus Christ. I know, very unpopular in today's modern theological circles. We're all destined for hell apart from Jesus Christ, but God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die on a cross for us to rescue us from the sin that holds us captive and the sin that causes us to await inevitable judgment. He frees us and forgives us from that. No greater love has this world ever seen. So how are we haters when we attack the enemy who's bringing down that person who's caught in some other kind of lifestyle? I don't care what lifestyle it is. Don't just assume that it's homosexuality that I'm talking about, though I am. But it's also adultery, fornication, murder, and all those other things that the Word of God teaches us. And we go to that person and we tell them, hey, there is a better way of life. There is forgiveness for everything that you've ever done. We're the haters. Something's wrong with that picture. But we got to make up our minds. We know the enemy. is going around deceiving people. We got to make a stand against him, whatever disguise he's wearing. We make a stand with truth. No matter what scheme, everybody knows that a scheme is a lie, right? No matter what scheme he throws at us, the only thing that's going to open that person's eyes to the truth is the truth. Isn't that funny how that works? Isn't it funny how the church has complicated that for so long? Listen, if we want people to have their eyes open, show them the truth. Now, if you're like me, hey, sometimes the truth hurts your feelings, doesn't it? Anybody ever had their feelings hurt by the truth? Yeah. Anybody had their feelings hurt by the truth? You got mad, you walked out, and the Holy Spirit said, that person was right, and that was the truth, and you probably need to listen. Yes, sir. It's time we stand against the enemy. Because I promise you this right now, listen to me. Whether you're aware of it or whether you're not, I want you to look at me eye to eye. He's coming after you. He's coming after you. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be next week, it may be going on actively right now in your life, I promise you. Scripture is true, and Scripture says He is roaming the earth looking for someone who is weak enough for Him to drag down and to destroy. Understand, the enemy is coming for you. And he's not going to let up until Jesus puts him in his rightful place. Number two, it's time to stand. Number one, against the enemy. Number two, it's time to stand for truth and righteousness. The truth of God's Word. I've never in my life seen the Word of God compromised like it is now. Where preachers will read a passage of Scripture that says one thing, and then what they'll do so that people don't get mad at them and stop tithing at their church, they'll alter it to say something else so it leaves them with a little better feeling. I don't know about you guys, but I was cut from the mold and it goes like this. Hell's hot. Men are full of sin. They have no hope but hell. Jesus died on a cross to rescue us from that sin. If we don't come through Jesus Christ, we go to hell for all eternity. If we do come to Jesus Christ and surrender to Him, He forgives us our sin and we're free from hell and we're awarded eternal life with God in His heavenly kingdom forever. It's not real complicated, is it? But when some of the most profound leaders in the so-called American church are asked about certain issues, one of them being sin, they take no stance on it. I choose not to talk about sin a whole lot from the pulpit, they'll say, because it might offend those people who we're trying to reach. You laugh. It is the majority of the American churches. We don't want to offend anyone. I had people tell me when I was coming up through ministry, and you know I belong to a certain denomination, which if you can sit around here long enough, you'll figure out which one. I make fun of them a lot. They taught me some good things too. I hope we give them credit where they did good. But the fact of the matter is this. When I would go someplace and preach the truth, I noticed this. Folks would get saved. Then when I was on staff at a church, I would come back and all the things that we preached were canned so that we didn't offend anyone, and they were laid out for us so that they didn't step on any toes. I would sit in sermons. Go, why can't we just unleash the truth of the Word of God and let it be what it is? Because when we unleash the truth of the Word of God, yes, I'll agree. Sometimes people get offended. I'll say this to you, you're visiting with us today. You're offended because we're so bold and so blunt with the truth. I love you. I'll be praying for you. Best of wishes to you as you try to go find a church that makes you feel good. It won't be hard. I can point you in a lot of directions. And it will be easy on you from here on out. But remember this. When you forget that you're in a battle, you become a victim. So we have to learn the importance of truth. Truth and righteousness. Where's our stand in the American church for truth and righteousness? We say the only thing that matters is truth and righteousness. The truth in regard to the one and only gospel of Jesus Christ. Y'all don't realize this because fortunately for you and sometimes unfortunately, you're at a place who believes in truth and taking the Word of God and looking at it just like it's written. and saying, here's what God says, here's what God doesn't say. Now live what God says. But there are other places, I assure you, in the American church, where the gospel of Jesus Christ is nothing like the gospel of Jesus Christ that you hear preached here every week. Because it's Jesus plus works. How many of you know that's not Jesus? You understand that? The common crazy thing going on in the American church, I'm just going to bust a bunch of people's bubble. The common thing going on in the American church is let's mix Judaism. Thanks for the laser pointers. I'm kicking them everywhere. The common theme in the American church nowadays is they're mixing Judaism with Christianity. Let me help all you American Gentiles. You were never made to be Jew. You were without hope. You were without God. You were immoral sexually. You were immoral as a drunkard. You were immoral in all kinds of sins, just like Ephesians says you are and what you're prone to do. But yet the grace of God was still extended to you through Jesus Christ. So I have people that have literally told me this. They have discovered something new. It's the same thing they discovered in Galatians. And Paul said, I am so astounded that you have so quickly abandoned the truth. You've turned back to Judaism. He was saying that to them because what they were saying is, well, we have Jesus, but we also need some of the law too. Folks, listen to me. Jesus plus anything is not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Period. End of discussion. Do we get great lessons from the heritage that comes from where we've been adopted from? You betcha. Or adopted to? You bet. But would I tell you for 1 minute that you're going to have to keep all the laws that we see in Leviticus in order to regain righteousness and have a right relationship with God? Absolutely, positively not. Those things in themselves were for the Jew to show the Jew that they couldn't do it so they would see their need for grace. So Jesus plus something else is not Jesus. Jesus plus something else is man's crazy idea and man's crazy religion. Let me tell you something that's going to send a bunch of people straight to hell. What about Jesus plus do anything you want to do? That's, well, unfortunately, the denomination I grew up in. Jesus plus do what you want to do because we have grace and once saved, always saved. It's a great world to live in. Don't abuse that. Don't abuse it. I believe 100%. You've heard me. I believe in the security of the believer. I believe Jesus did it all and He's the only one who could undo it, and He said He's not going to undo it. He said, the work I started in you, I'll carry it to completion. That's a promise from Him. He said, I'm sealed to the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. Not sealed till I mess up. Sealed to the day of redemption. So the people who say this, people who say, well, now I have Jesus so I can live any way I want to live, man, they are abusing grace. Let me tell you what, that's not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But neither is the person who says you're saved until you sin. Then you're unsaved again. Well, I always ask that person, they can never give me an answer. They usually just get mad at me and then they mark me off their Facebook friend list. Because I always ask them this. So if I can surrender to Jesus Christ, Him drawing me out of darkness and into light, no work of my own, I become His child, and the Bible says that I'm sealed to the day of redemption, but you say that I can be unsealed. Okay, whatever. How many times do I have to sin before I'm not saved again? They do this. Well, how many times or how big of sin does it have to be? Well, it don't work like that. Well, tell me how it works. If Jesus Christ died once for all sin, and all of my sin was washed away at Calvary outside of Jerusalem, we saw it on a map just this week, didn't we? Saw pictures of it. If all my sin was paid for there, how does He hold any of that to my charge? So I'll say this, a gospel that preaches you're saved and you're secure as long as you're doing everything right and your life is a picture of sinless perfection, you'll remain a Christian. Let me tell you this, you will never in this lifetime see sinless perfection in your life. You won't see that till He glorifies you. I know this, one sin, keeps you from a holy God. So what you have to do, if it's based on you and finding out all the sins you ever did and confessing those things, you're in a heap of trouble if you forget one. You laugh. There are people who live their lives in this kind of bondage. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of man. Because if I can keep you feeling guilty, I can keep you doing stuff for me. I need you to clean that yard out there. I need you to mow that grass. I need you to clean this building. Do it for me. I don't want to have to do it. Some of you have been to that church. Because I'll tell you right now, if you're on the cleaning crew here, if you're on the lawn crew here, do it for the Lord. You're not doing it for me. I promise you, I'm not above. If I come here and the grass is tall, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to jump on a mower. I'm going to mow it myself. I'm going to be thankful that I got the mower for Jesus. I'm going to gripe about y'all being lazy, but I'm going to be thankful I got to do it. But it's time we stand for truth and righteousness. Because the American church is not. Righteousness, what does that mean? It's not just a cool word from the 60s. That dude's righteous. It's rightness with God. It's time we stand in being right with God. Doesn't mean you're ever going to get everything right, but you know what's right. It's time we stand up for what's right. If the Word of God says it, then it's true. And so let's stand on it. Let's tell people. Even if they get mad at us, guess what? You're going to lose friends when you stand on truth and righteousness. People will hate you. They will call you all sorts of names that aren't true. They will not follow you on Twitter, whatever that is. People are going to not like you. Can I offer you this? Jesus, the perfect example of truth and righteousness, was crucified on a cross because the people did not like the truth that came out of His mouth. What an honor it is. Blessed is He when men say all kinds of false evil against Him and they persecute you. He said, you're blessed. So understand this, our objective is not to go out there and make the whole world mad. Some Christians think that's what they're supposed to do. Our objective is to take the truth and the righteousness of Jesus Christ and preach it to a lost and dying world. And if it makes them mad, so be it. That was not our intention. Our heart was for them to see the truth, that the truth might set them free, just as the truth has set us free and given us new and eternal life in Christ. It's time we stand against the enemy. It's time we stand for truth and righteousness. The righteous morals and convictions that we see in the Word of God and that every believer has inside of them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? People come to me and they say, I want to do this, but I'm just not sure it's right. What does the Holy Spirit inside of you say? Because I promise you, I've never done anything wrong as a believer that the Holy Spirit didn't, before I do it, say, wait a second, you know better. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, I've gone on and done it. I reaped what I had coming. So will you. But it doesn't make it right. That's what's wrong with the American church. The American church thinks this. Well, if I do it, it's right. Because I'm an American Christian. We got all the answers to everything. Let me tell you what. No, you don't. You're full of pride and you're full of arrogance. And I pray that God would break us as the American church and cause us to get on our face before God and say, God, we have nothing to offer anyone. We're wretched and we're pitiful and we're blind and we're naked and we're poor, just like your word says. Lord, we'll depend on you for everything from this point forward. We'll stand for truth and morals and convictions as the Holy Spirit leads us in our life. Stand up against the enemy. Stand up for truth and righteousness. And number three, I promise you I'm done. That don't mean God did. Because you know what I pray? I pray that today some of you wimps become warriors. Let me tell you what, if you won't stand up to your wife and your house for truth and righteousness, you're not going to stand up out in the world. If you won't stand up, men, listen to me, and lead your home like a godly father, which you've been entrusted to do according to the Word of God, you're not going to lead out in the community. First things first, some of you guys need to stop being wimps and learn today that God wants you to be a warrior. The warrior's not going to back down just because the fight gets a little interesting. We've seen that we need to stand against the enemy, to stand for truth and righteousness. Number three, we need to stand as a display of God's power. A display of God's power. What did Paul say? He said, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. First verse, he hits us with that. Why do we stand? Do we stand for personal victory? Absolutely, positively not. Personal victory to a fleshly, carnal creation like me is to sin and have fun. When a preacher gets honest, everybody else shuts up. But that's the truth in and of myself. My personal victories are flesh. When I win at that game, yeah, it might be Yahtzee, but so what? I beat you. Whatever it is. I don't even know how to play Yahtzee. Does anybody win in Yahtzee? Okay, congratulations. You finally won something in life. I'm not talking about to bring personal gain to ourselves. That's not what this fight's all about. It's not, I'm ultimate match, ultimate fighting champion for Jesus. It's not the power team bending bars of steel. That's fleshly strength. I know y'all, some of you folks that had the power team, y'all just got messed up. You mean God didn't give them that strength? No. Nope. He may have gave them the genetics to have that strength, but I've seen those guys work out. Those dudes spend a lot of time in the gym. That's flesh. And you talk to some of them about their testimony, it wasn't all natural. You laugh. People don't have size 9.5 heads. The fact of the matter is, those things are fleshly strength. I'm not talking about fleshly strength and fleshly victory. Okay? I'm not talking about that at all. So don't think that today I'm telling you, go out, let's go load all our AR-15s for Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. I will tell you this, load your AR-15. Load two of them. Three if you got them. That's kind of excess. Give one to the preacher. But I am saying this, we are in a spiritual battle where we have to learn to stand and fight, and it's up to us to stand in the power of God. Why? Not so that we can have victory and say, ooh, we look at us, we stand in the power of God. It's so that people will look at God and say, I don't know who this ordinary guy named Kirk Hall is, but there is some powerful thing inside of him that is beyond anything that this ordinary guy Kirk Hall could ever have in him, because it's not natural. It is the power of God in him causing him to make a stand. You guys remember David and Goliath when the little boy went out and whooped the 9-foot guy? That kind of power. See, it wasn't supposed to happen, was it? In fact, physically, fleshly, it was impossible for David to go out there. But David learned to stand in the power of God's might and in the strength that comes from God's supernatural strength in us. David didn't just go out there because he wanted to beat some guy up. Don't forget that. You know why David went out there? Because every day Goliath would come out there and he would mock God to God's people. And David said, enough is enough. If none of you other sissies are going to take a stand, I'm going out and I'm going to take a stand. And God was with him. Why? Because he was defending the name of Jehovah God. Now I say this to you. Are you making a stand in your life defending the name of Jehovah God? Or are you just sitting back letting the enemy rule and reign and run all over you? Stand in God's power. Why? To bring God praise. You know what? All the people praise God. They didn't praise David. He's just a little boy. What would happen? This is a question. What would happen if all of you normal, natural people began to trust this very day in the supernatural strength of God to make a stand in the Porter New Caney community? To make a stand in the state of Texas, to make a stand in the United States of America. What would happen if even just a few of you said, we want to stand in God's supernatural might and power like Paul said, and we want to see God do amazing things. Not so that we can get the credit for it, because that's usually where we fall off the tracks.
Well, what if I don't get the credit for it?
What if you don't get the credit for it? What if at the end of the day, God gets all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for it? Isn't that what we ought to be living for anyways? What if what you do goes unnoticed to the secular world? But God uses it to spark a revival in your Bible study class, in your men's group, in this church congregation. What if? because we're here as a display of God's power. Did you know that? You know that? We are here to be a display of God's power, period. Or else, when we became a Christian, He just went ahead and zapped us out and took us home. But He's left us here. Why? He's left us here because we have to stand against the enemy in the power of God. Why? So those people who are in darkness will see the light. They will see the light in how you stand. Oh, we say we believe a lot of things. You know what the problem with Christianity is? We don't live and stand in what we say we believe. You say, but I just don't have the strength to. Absolutely right. He didn't say stand in your own strength. He said stand in the power and the might of Almighty God. Bring Him praise. So that you might bring others to Christ. So that you might see that personal victory in your life. Some of you have already seen a personal victory by the power of God in your life today. Man, what a good God. For the first words ever preached, we see God just swoop in and do what He does. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that He is in control of every situation. We are just at His mercy. So what do? We want to make a stand. Anybody here want to make a stand? I didn't say that anybody want to putt on the 18th green. Does anybody here want to make a stand? Thank you. That's a guy who gets it. Thank you. Don't sit down. You're standing. See, that's what happens. We stand for a minute. I'm talking about standing when everybody else in the whole wide world is against everything that we believe and everything that we stand for. But we're going to stand in the power and the might of God. Give the Lord praise. Here's what you need to do. Listen. Acknowledge the enemy. Acknowledge it. He's real. He's here today and He wants to destroy everything God has done today. Embrace God's truth with your whole heart. I'm no longer going to believe only what I see with my eyes. I am going to believe and stand on the Word of God. Watch this. If it costs me everything. That's standing in the truth and the power and the righteousness of the Word of God. Then allow God's infinite power to be displayed in your life. You know why the world doesn't believe us? We talk about how powerful our God is. They never see us trust in His power. They never see us trust in His power. I pray that you would stand today, not with me, but you would stand with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as I join with Him today in His power and His might for His glory. Lord, we thank You for this time as the musicians begin to come. Lord, we thank You for all You do for us. We thank You that Your Word is true in all of the philosophies and the ideology of men and their politics and their schemes. Lord, we know that that all comes from the evil one. God, I pray that the American church, at least this American church represented right here today, I pray they would fix their eyes on You. That they would draw strength from You. That they would realize that they are in a battle and that they have the power in You to stand and to fight. They have the armor that You have provided for them, that You might bring victory to them so that You would receive glory and honor and praise from men of all races, backgrounds, dialects, and people groups. Lord, I pray right now that we're not too far gone as the American church. God, that we would turn our hearts back to You this morning. And trust Your power. Cause us to stand and even fight to the death. Just as You stood, You died in our place. Lord, let us have the honor of being Your warriors this morning. If you need prayer, folks are here to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you how you do it. You just walk down this aisle, grab one of these people and say, I need Jesus. Tell me what needs to happen in my life. Whatever the Holy Spirit's leading you to do, I pray that you would be obedient to that this morning.